shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. When many of his disciples heard Jesus' teaching, they said, "This is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Beloved of God, grace to you and peace from God, our Maker, and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Even if you are not a lover of poetry, you may recognize these words. Maybe you had an eighth grade English teacher like I did who loved Robert Frost and made you memorize this poem. Praise God for those teachers. Or maybe it isn't the words you recognize as much as the experience they describe. Anyone who has lived for more than a few years knows what it means to come to a fork in the road, a place on life's journey that requires one to make a choice. Will I take this path or will I take this one? The traveler in the poem can't see very far down either path, so there is an element of uncertainty no matter which direction he goes. But he doesn't whip out a GPS unit or consult Google Maps. He seems to know that the only way he can really get to know a path is by walking it. I found myself thinking about this poem, remembering it when I read the Old Testament text for today. It also depicts an important moment of decision when God's people found themselves at a fork in the road, called to make a choice. In the reading, the elderly Joshua speaks to the tribes of Israel in order to prepare them for his impending death. Now, you may remember that as a young man, Joshua was chosen as Moses' successor to lead the wandering Israelites into the land and to get them settled there. Battle by bloody battle, Joshua did just that. Now, I have to admit, this is not my favorite part of Scripture. It is so gory and so violent and has such a triumphalist kind of tone to it. It seemed that success came at the end of a sword. And by that measure, Joshua was very successful. With the armies of Israel, he secured a place in the land for the tribes. And for the first time in their memory, they had a place to call home. This generation had all been born in the wilderness. Those who had left Egypt had died in the wilderness. This generation had never known a place that was their own. So when they settled in the land and raised families and harvested crops, they experienced a kind of security and prosperity they had dreamed of but never known. Now, Joshua was a fearless leader, but we see in this text that he was also a wise leader. As the years passed and he grew gray in the temples, he recognized something. He recognized that the people were every bit as vulnerable in the land as they had been in the wilderness. With their bellies full and their own plot of land, they were in danger of forgetting their story, of forgetting who they were and to whom they belonged. They were tempted to chase after anything that would give them more security and more prosperity, like the gods of the neighboring nations. That was at least the promise that they made. The people could easily forget that they were a covenant people, and that meant that their identity and their security was anchored in their relationship with Yahweh. So Joshua gathered all the tribes together in this dramatic scene that we find in our text today. He put the leaders right up front so that they could hear every word. And story by story, beginning with Abraham and Sarah, he recited their common history. He recalled God's promises to their ancestors, God's saving actions, God's providence. Joshua said to the people, "Look around. This goodness is not your own accomplishment. Remember, you are gathering fruit from vineyards you did not plant, and olives from trees you did not grow. You are part of something so much bigger than yourselves. You are part of this long line of people who have trusted in God for salvation, for security, for well-being, people who recognize that it all comes from God's gracious hand." Joshua's speech reached its climax when he named the fork in the road. "You have a choice to make," he told them. "You can choose the path of forgetfulness, wandering after other gods, or you can choose the path of remembrance, the path of the covenant, serving God in good times and in bad, in plenty and in want. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Now, Joshua must have been a charismatic speaker because his message evoked a passionate response from the people. "Far be it from us," they said. "Far be it from us that we should forsake Yahweh to serve other gods. We know what God has done for us. To forget the covenant would be like death. Far be it from us to do that." But we know the story, don't we? Even if you know nothing about the Old Testament, you know this story. Trust me. Because it's the human story. The people struggled with faithfulness. With their lips, they honored Yahweh, but they hedged their bets, bowing down to whatever God seemed to offer them what they felt they needed. They dishonored both the letter and the spirit of the covenant, not just once, but regularly. And they suffered. They suffered because they could no longer remember who they were. They forgot the deep well of grace that had been provided for them, from which they could drink and find life. They kept looking for other sources and coming up dry. They withered from a loss of identity, a loss of community, and a loss of land, which for them was a type of death. But they get no condemnation from me, because I get it. The path of covenant relationship with God is a challenging one to walk, in part because there are so many choices which seem to promise life and maybe a quicker, easier version of life. There are so many voices that make so many promises. "Here, come this way. Do this. Buy this, life will be easier. Work harder, get ahead, you will feel more secure. Eat this, drink this, you will feel happier. Read this, it explains everything and you will be certain. Click here, you will be less lonely." It's easy to get disoriented, isn't it? To wander off. And it's not the doing and the buying and the clicking that is in itself destructive, but when we look somewhere else for our worth, for our well-being, for our hope, then we have chosen the path of forgetting. We forget that we're made in the image of God and loved by God. We forget that we are called by the Spirit of God, that our life has a purpose. We forget the deep well of grace that is ours from which to drink. We forget in whom we find our life. But God does not forget. That's the thing about reading the Old Testament. You're like, really, God? You're going to give them another chance? You get so frustrated with these people that do the same thing over and over again. But God does not forget the covenant. God knows who we are, even when we have no idea. God remembers our story, remembers that it is a story of ongoing relationship and ongoing salvation. And because of that, God keeps choosing us. That's the amazing thing about God, that even when we can't choose God, God chooses us. Because God's memory is always stronger than our forgetting. And God's mercy is stronger than our sin. God doesn't make casual promises. And it is because of God that this covenant endures from generation to generation. As Christians, we are heirs to this covenant through Christ. In Christ, we find the one who has entered the human story, who walks alongside us on the road. Christ is the one who seeks us when we are lost, who picks us up when we stumble and fall. He feeds us with the bread of life and quenches our thirst with the living water. The path of discipleship is not easy. It never has been. We see that in that exchange between Peter and Jesus in the gospel text, when the crowds were turning away in droves and Jesus asked those closest to him, "Are you too going to turn away?" Peter responded, "Lord, where would we go? To whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. In you we find life, eternal and free." Those are our words too. Where else would we turn but to Christ? Our life is in him. And so with all of the people who have come before us and all who will come after, we step out in faith and follow. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you have prayer cards, the ushers will gather those from you now as we sing together.